Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What's cracking into hour number two? We are live in the ATL. My name is Jim Rome. We are on Radio Row, site of Super Bowl 53, having an absolutely amazing week, and we start this second hour off. Quick reminder, we are broadcasting from the Quicken Loans studios, except we're not. Normally in Southern California, we are. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, and I will be back next week to do just that. But as promised, we start hour number two with a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro, 2016 NFL MVP, a quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, 2016 Offensive Player of the Year. This past year, 4,924 yards passing, 35 TDs, and third in the league in both categories. He appears courtesy today of Gatorade and their limited edition flavor. We will get into all that momentarily. Matt Ryan joining us. Matt, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Always good to have you, Matt. Let me get this out of the way. Before the start of the year, I'm guessing you were not envisioning sitting down with me the Thursday before a Super Bowl. My guess is you thought you'd be preparing for the game in your home stadium. So what's it like having everybody come to your town and unfortunately not playing in the game?
You know, it's always disappointing when you're not playing this week. And having been there a couple of years ago, you get a taste for it and what it's like, and you just want that. You want to be back in it this week. But it's cool to have people here. I think Atlanta does such a good job with these kind of events, big events. The city's set up to handle it so well. So I'm proud of our city for doing a great job.
You know, in terms of this year, I had your teammate Austin Hooper on the program a little bit earlier this week. We talked about the fact that although the season didn't go the way anybody wanted to go, you did win your last three games. And he said that Dan Quinn deserved a lot of credit for that, for the way he closed out the season. What's it say about the coach and the guys in that locker room that they did not give in, they didn't mail it in?
Well, I think it's huge, and I think it's huge for our young guys, too, guys that you have to learn how to win in this league, and it's difficult to do. And so every opportunity that a lot of our young guys who are playing this year had to see what it takes to win games in this league and when you've got to make plays, do all that kind of stuff, I thought that was important. I thought it spoke to, you know, Dan's ownership of our locker room, and he gets guys to buy in better than anybody I've been around, and I thought that showed up the last couple of weeks.
I mean, that's so big, right? All these guys can X and O, but you got to get that buy-in. You've got to lead. You got to motivate. How does he get guys to buy in? Why is he so good at that?
He's just he's a really good communicator, and he's really honest. And you know, I think he just makes you. He makes you feel comfortable and very clear on what your role is, and he also encourages you. I mean, he's a really good person, and guys buy into that.
We're talking about Ryan on Radio Row, you know, mentioning Hooper again, man. This cat's funny to me. He's really a cool dude, laid back, pretty relaxed off the field, but he shows up big on the field. What's it like to play with him?
He's awesome. You know, he really is. He's very California. He's very chill. You know,
we are, man.
Yeah, very chill. You know that as well as anybody. But when he gets out there, I mean, he's a beast. And he kind of has a laid-back vibe to him, but he wants it. You know, like, don't confuse that with him not wanting to be the guy to take, you know, on ownership of what we're doing on third downs in the red area. He's clutch, too. I mean, he makes plays. He's not scared to go out there and cut it loose.
Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan joining me on Radio Row. We'll talk Gatorade in just 1 minute. You want to talk about a California guy. You want to talk about a guy who catches passes. Tony Gonzalez, your former tight end, is up for the Hall of Fame. Is there any doubt in your mind, Matt, that he deserves to get in? And then what would it mean to you to see him get in?
There's zero doubt in my mind. I mean, this should be happening Saturday night, and you know, I'm excited for him. He deserves it. He's one of the most professional people I've ever been around. I learned so much from him. It was such a cool time in my career to learn from an older guy and to see how to do it the right way. And he taught me so much. It would mean a lot to me, just as a friend. He's a really good friend of mine, and I'd just be really, really happy for him. He deserves this. His family deserves it, and I hope for him it happens Saturday.
Well, I would imagine throwing the football to a guy like that's got to be great. But just as a guy, he's got so much of that it, right? When I used to interview him, he'd show up in person or on the phone. When I worked with him at CBS, on the NFL on CBS, when that guy walks in the room, you know something just happened, right? He's just one of those really different guys.
He's a presence. He's got this presence and aura to him when he comes in that you know, he's going to be special regardless of what he does. When he comes in, he does TV or whatever he's doing. He's just really good at all that stuff. But he had a presence in our locker room that was unmatched. I mean, when he spoke, he didn't speak a lot, but when he did, man, you listen to everything he was saying. And then his production week in and week out, he's probably one of the most consistent guys I've ever been around. You knew exactly what you were going to get from him every Sunday.
Hey, listen, you've been around a few guys like that, actually. Gonzalez, Julio Jones, Austin Hooper now, number of other great targets in your career. As you look at this, what makes a great receiver or a great tight end? I mean, what are you looking for in a pass catcher that signals that they're different from the rest?
Separation, how they create separation, and everybody does it differently. Like Tony Gonzalez created separation through length and through, you know, body position, whereas Julio Jones creates separation through size, speed,
strength,
running right past or running right through you, whatever it is. But then we have a guy like Calvin Ridley, who had a really good year for us too, and he creates separation using his quickness and his ability to release off the line of scrimmage. So for me, the number one thing is if guys can separate, you always got a chance to you know, move the ball and be productive.
Now, you're playing the game at a really high level still, but you see quarterbacks now playing into their late 30s, early 40s, and still playing at a high level. You're taking really good care of your body. You're working on the small things, like that warm-up routine you broke out a couple of years ago that had your teammates laughing and talking junk at the same time. What about that? How much more time do you spend focusing on things like mobility and stretching and massages than, say, when you first came into the league?
It's night and day. You know, it was all about, you know, weight training, getting stronger, and doing these things when I was younger, and it's really changed. And I feel better and I've stayed healthier adjusting to training differently. You know, I've got a massage therapist that I work with 3 days a week during the season. That it's not just getting rubbed down too. I mean, it's working. And
like deep tissue stuff,
deep tissue stretching, all of that stuff, that's really helped me. But there's a real mindfulness now of wellness and how to take care of yourself to create longevity. And I think that's important. I really feel like, you know, I can play for a long time if I continue to feel the way that I do.
You know, there's also you have to learn how to win. Like you said, you've got to learn about the league. There's this other great story in your rookie year, third snap of your career. But before we get to that, your backup, Chris Redmond, told you, hey, when something good happens in this league, man, don't celebrate too much or you're going to wear yourself out. So what happened on that third snap?
Dude, a 62-yard touchdown pass
on the
skinny post on the backside. And so he scores, and I was going crazy.
Mike Jenkins, right?
Mike Jenkins caught it, and it was a skinny post on the backside. He hit this, and I came over, and I was exhausted, man. I was tired on the side.
From celebrating.
He was like, dude, it's cool. It's cool. If you throw it on your first one, you can celebrate as much as you want.
Yeah, so, in other words, Redmond was right.
Redmond was definitely right. Experience backup.
All right, so part of taking care of yourself is the work that you're doing with Gatorade. They've got a brand-new limited edition flavor for me. Break this down. What's the flavor? What do you like about it?
Okay, so it pays homage to the state of Georgia. It's we're known as the Peach State, and this is Peach Blitz. So it's limited edition for this week. It tastes really good. I like it, and just happy to partner up with them. I've been a partner with them for a long time, and it's cool to be able to promote that in our hometown.
Let me say something, man. I don't know how many of these things you've done today, but you showed up like that was your first, man. That's a pro right there. That's a pro effort.
Well, I appreciate it. You make it easy on me, man.
No, man, I appreciate it. It's great to see you. Where should I go to dinner tonight? I've not gotten out of the hotel this week.
Okay, what are you in the mood for? Sushi? You like sushi? It sounds weird.
No, I'm a big sushi guy, actually, yeah.
Umi.
Yeah, really.
Umi and Buckhead.
What do you get there?
Oh, man.
What anything. Don't you get there?
Yeah, no, anything. The tuna appetizer is unreal. Gosh. The lobster teppanyaki.
Okay, good.
It's good.
You know, I was going to say steak, but you know what? Sushi's much better.
You know,
I'll do it.
Steak's good here, too. Go to
all
Bones.
Right. I'll hit you up on that. I'm here. I got all weekend. Matt, so good to see you, man. I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Appreciate it, man.
Matt Ryan, you cannot come to the ATL and not check in with Matt Ryan. All right, so we start off hour number two. Great to be here. Tell phone number is toll free if I can. I will slide in a phone call or two, 1-800-636-8686. Or from Radio Row. In Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53. Welcome back. We had a technical glitch, but we are now back. Nice to be with you. I am Jim Rome, and we are live on Radio Row. What I was saying a moment ago is one of my favorite things about this week is not only do we have access, really good access, but a chance to run down some really good friends. We are joined right now by a Green Bay Packers legend, a five-time first-team All-Pro, a five-time NFL champion, a member of the 1960s first-team All-Decade team, a member of the NFL's 50th anniversary team, a member of the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, class of 2018. He appears courtesy of Blimpy. And one thing I want to add to that resume, the only athlete that I've ever interviewed where I had to mentally prepare for the handshake before he arrived, Jerry Kramer. Jerry, it is so good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I am great, Jimmy. Life is good. The world is happy, and I'm happy, and it's just been an incredible year from last August to now. The entrance into the Hall of Fame has been sensational. It's been a wonderful story. I've heard from everybody I think I've ever known. I got a conversation with a kid Monday night that we went to the fourth grade together.
What was that like?
It was awesome. I mean, he said, he came up to me and said, Jerry, you ever know a guy named Boyd Sharp? I said, yeah, I knew his family. Yeah, they were lived up close to us in Sandpoint. He said, I'm Boyd Sharp.
It's amazing. That is something else. You know, you and I have been talking for so many years here on Radio Row, and we've always talked about the Hall of Fame and when is this going to happen? Why hasn't this happened? When is it going to happen? Well, here it is. It's official. Do you feel like a weight has been lifted off of your shoulders?
Well, you know, Jimmy, I had kind of come to a accommodation with the whole thing. I was to the point where I'm saying, hey, it's been a wonderful ride, a wonderful career. You've had 99 presents. If they don't give you one more, are you going to let that ruin the 99? No, it's been a wonderful ride. So when the nomination came, I just looked at it as another applause. It was just another moment, a great moment. And so I've had a number of nominations, so that's wonderful. If it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, fine. But I'm not going to let it ruin all the wonderful moments that I have had. So I was pretty comfortable with it. And Joe Horrigan, the president of the Hall, got on the phone after Mr. Baker and said, Jerry, I want you to know this is maybe the happiest day of my life. Your mail comprises about 90% of our incoming mail.
Great. Right.
So it was nice, and everything has been nice,
Jimmy. Super. That's so great. Listen, I understand there may have been some acceptance on your part, but you did get in, finally. Finally. What did it mean to have your children at the ceremony and to have Alicia present you?
It was so wonderful, Jim, to have them there. It just magnified the experience by a factor of about five, right? To have them look out in the audience when I'm talking, and I see the children, and they're smiling, and they're watching. And they came to the ring ceremony and the unveiling ceremony at Lambeau, and the Packers gave us 40 tickets for the game and the box and the whole thing. And it was just everybody chipped in and made it really special. And having the children there was the icing on the cake. You know, it was just sensational.
Jerry Kramer is a Hall of Famer, a Green Bay Packer great. One more thought about the entire enshrinement ceremony. Was there something that happened where it really hit home? I mean, was it seeing the bust? Was it putting the jacket on? Was it seeing your family? Was there that one moment where it really hit home?
There were three or four moments that crystallized. And one of them was we had our jacket on and we were walking through the line of the Hall of Famers. They were all lined up in their jackets, and we came off the stage and we walked between, through them, the gauntlet. And Joe DeLaMalier from Buffalo, John Hanna from New England, and Tom Mack from the Rams were three guards that were in the hall. And they got together and waylaid me. And they started telling me how much my game meant to them, how they had patterned themselves after me, and they started crying, and I started crying.
Wow.
And we're hugging each other.
Wow.
And what a moment. It was such a meaningful moment for those guards who knew me as well as anybody in the world knew me. They'd studied me, they'd watched me, they'd tried to play like me. But it was so nice to hear that from them, and at the caliber they were.
Yeah,
right?
They were legends of the game. Nobody played that position better than those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a huge moment. Bill Polian came up to me from the Buffalo Bills, the general manager.
Sure.
Jerry, you changed my life. How? Well, I was a senior in high school, and I was getting ready to go to college, and I had planned my life out. My family, all my relatives, we got together and had a master plan, and I read your book. And I decided I wanted to be in football.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He had never told you that story?
No.
You never heard that?
No, I know. I heard it the first time in Canton. I'm having lunch with the family, and he comes over, and I'm going, wow, wow, that's incredible. And that's a heavy weight on me. You know, it's a responsibility. I don't know that I want that position. I'm not that sure of myself and my philosophy and my beliefs. They're good for me, but I'm not sure they're going to work for everybody. So I'm thinking, that's a heavy responsibility. And then I think, well, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but Jerry, it was a really good book, though. It was a really, really good book.
Well, I finally got to come to some peace with it, Jim, by saying, well, it's not me. It's Coach Lombardi. Mm. I'm talking about Coach Lombardi's principles and his philosophy and his belief. And then I think about it some more, and I go, well, it wasn't even Coach Lombardi. It was Plato. It was Aristotle. It was the ancient Greeks. That was the philosophy, so I got comfortable with myself.
That is awesome. Jerry Kramer is my guest. The book we're talking about is the Green Bay Packer Diary, Instant Replay. And I've told you the story a million times. I'll say it again right now. It was the first sports book I ever read as a kid, and it was just absolutely amazing. The book is timeless. And I could see where somebody like Bill Polian might even say, that's the reason I wanted to get into football. That book not only holds up today, Jerry, it was so far ahead of its time for you to talk about what was going on. And then you've got Lombardi. Your point is, it's not about me. It's about Lombardi. It's not even about Lombardi. It's about Aristotle. So, I mean, you and I have also talked about this. Getting his approval was great, but getting his criticism could be pretty harsh. What was it like to get negative feedback from Vince Lombardi?
It was very painful. It depended upon the where you were. If you'd never experienced it and it was the first time, it was the first time. But if you'd been there a while and you were busting your hump trying to make things work, and you got, like, he got on my tail one day after a scrimmage, a goal line scrimmage against our defense. 95, 97 degrees in Green Bay, 100% humidity, and they're giggling. They're having a great day. They're stuffing us, and just, it's really a difficult day. And I miss a block, and I get some attention. And about four plays later, I jump off sides. And coach comes running across the field and gets about 10 inches from my nose. And he says, Mister, the concentration period of a college student is 5 minutes, high school is 3 minutes, kindergarten is 30 seconds, and you don't have that. So where's that put you?
Oh, man.
Put me looking at my shoe shine, Jimmy. Put me checking my shoes and got my head down, and I'm defeated. Go up in the locker room 10 minutes later, shuck my hat, my shoulder pads off, and put my chin in my hand and start checking the carpet, you know. And I'm looking at the carpet for about 40 minutes, wondering what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Can't play here. Never going to make that guy happy. Maybe it's time to get out of football, you know. This is his second year or so. And he came in finally. The locker room was empty, maybe a couple guys, and he came down to my locker, and he put his arm on my shoulder and messed up my hair, and he said, son, one of these days you're going to be the best guard in football.
How'd that feel?
Jimmy, it just was like a lightning bolt. It was a physical warmth that entered my chest, and it made me just giddy. It was just incredible that his approval could mean that much. But it was his approval and his belief in me, and I began to believe in me after that. And I tried to play the perfect game. I wanted to play never did. Got 98% on running one time, 100% on passing, but I missed a half a block. So he had a tremendous impact on me, and we were an emotional team. We won not because of our physical ability, but because of our concentration, our discipline, and our emotional package. That's what made the Green Bay Packers great.
Jerry Kramer, NFL Hall of Famer, joining me on the Row, Radio Row. Now, you are maintaining, and you and I could talk for hours, Jerry, but you have other things you have to do, too, other obligations. I want to ask you about your longstanding relationship with Blimpy. What are you doing with Blimpy this week?
You know, I'm trying to tell folks a little bit about Blimpie. Blimpie is a wonderful sandwich, and it works especially well for the Super Bowl, where Mama is a football fan, too, and she can get out of the kitchen and leave that 36-inch Blimpie in there with a knife and some pop and bottles and drinks and whatever and come watch the ball game. So you can go in and cut off a foot or a half a foot or two fingers or whatever you want and enjoy the game. So it's just a wonderful time to try a Blimpie. A 36-inch or even a 60-inch would be a great idea. So I have been a Blimpie guy for 10 years now, and it's one of my favorite things on Super Bowl.
Jerry Kramer, my guest. I mean, I'm not surprised by this, Jerry. I've always thought you were one of the more intellectual guys that I put on the program, but you just nailed that pitch. No notes, nothing in front of you. Just hammered that thing. Remember way back in the day when I came to Green Bay for an appearance, and I got to go to see Fuzzy Thurston in his bar, and you were around? Man, I'll never forget the first time I went to Green Bay. That was something else. What a great time that was.
Yeah, I remember seeing you at the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Fuzzy and I were together, and we did your show, but I was stunned that 500 people or more would come to watch a radio show. I didn't know who you were at the time, and I'm going, they're going to go watch a radio show?
Why would they do that?
What is that about?
Yeah, well, I'm me, and I still don't understand it. And I'm me, Jerry. I could not be happier to see you. I could not be happier for you. You are a Hall of Famer. You should have been sooner, but we will take it, and nobody can ever take that from you, my friend. It is so good to see you, Jerry. Thank you.
Jim, it's all fun. Always fun to be with you. It's always interesting.
One of my favorites. You too, Jerry. Thank you so much. Always interesting. Jerry Kramer, appearing courtesy of Blimpie. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2018. All right, we take a short timeout. We continue more from the row in just one moment. Jarvis Landry joins me on set next.
Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Obviously, the big game is this weekend. Do not spend game day babysitting your grill. Get a master-built smoker. Let the smoker do all the work for you. You will love how simple it is to produce award-worthy grub every single time. Best content wins a master-built smoker. So that might be by tweet, that might be an email, that might be a telephone call. I don't really care. Best content gets it. Best content gets it, and it might be today, and it might be tomorrow. Master Build, for tips, recipes, and information, you want to visit masterbuild.com. All right, more from the ATL. We're on Radio Row. I'm joined right now by a wide receiver. Good to see you, man. Four-time Pro Bowler. Led the Browns in receptions and receiving yardage. Three carries for 60 yards and a TD. He completed a 63-yard pass and a two-point conversion pass. He had at least two receptions in 79 straight games, second largest or longest streak in NFL history. He was the 63rd pick out of LSU in 2014. Jarvis Landry joins me right now. Juice, what's up? How are you?
What's up, baby? It's always good to see you.
Good to see you. Now, you got a guest with you, my man Nick Kelly. Nick is a huge fan of yours. He has CF. He's a huge ambassador for the CF Foundation. Nick, what's going on? How's your day going?
Man, living the dream. Living the dream. I'm good.
Good, man. Good to see you. And let me get back to you in 1 second, Nick. Jarvis, let me talk to you about a couple of things you and I have been talking during the year. It's great to see you in person. Thanks for coming by. Listen, when you first got to Cleveland, they were 0-16, and you were talking Super Bowl. Now, you're not there yet, but considering where this team was and what you did, man, it's pretty darn close. Were you trying to speak that thing into existence, or did you really see something when you got there that made you think all of that was possible?
Well, I know me for me personally, you know, I trained every year to play in this game that's played this weekend and win it. You know, and that's been my mindset. That's been my attitude since I stepped in the NFL field. And I just believe that the culture that was in the Cleveland Brown organization, you know, needed to understand that when we take the field, it's expecting to win and not hoping to win. You know, that we put all this work in and it should pay off with a ring.
All right, so listen, I'm not there. I'm on the other side of the country watching it, but I could see something special is going on there. In fact, I've been saying since the start of the year, the Browns are the new America's team. Man, there's just something different about you guys. What's it feel like to be on the inside of such an amazing turnaround?
Man, it's a great. It's a wonderful feeling. The fans are amazing. The fan base, you know, even around the world, the fan base has traveled well. And not only that, you know, just being here and talking to people, talking to guys that I've respected for a long time and around the league, from commentators to, you know, yourself to other players, and hearing they see the potential that we have in Cleveland, and that's so exciting.
Maybe I'm selling you guys short with America's team, man. You're the world's team. World's team. When you talk to guys around the league, you know, it used to be, hey, man, be careful, or we'll send you to Cleveland, like it was some kind of punishment.
Yep.
Does it feel right now like it's a destination?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know, you know, when everything was going on with on a trade block, or even now, you know, I'm recruiting as many guys, and I'm sure even at the Pro Bowl, you know, guys coming up on their contract, I'm talking to them about potentially joining us in Cleveland and, you know, making it special.
Dude, what do they say? What's the reaction now when you bring it up?
We'll see.
It's not no, though.
It's not no, you know, and that's all we know. That's all we want. That's a start.
Jarvis Landry, my guest. I wonder, you know, because it sounded like so far out there and crazy when you first said it. Now that you're a 7-win team, and I know that's not the goal, but you are a 7-win team, considering where you started, is there any part of you that wants to say, where are y'all at now? You see what I told you? Now you see what I'm talking about?
I mean, to some degree, you know what I mean? But some degree, but I think at the same time, you know, it was a humbling year. You know, I know for myself individually and personally, but I think as a team, we understand what we have. You know, from the younger guys, from Baker Mayfield to Chubb to Myles Garrett, you know, and I think we got some structure put in place now, having a head coach, an offensive coordinator, you know, and just kind of seeing how things go.
So how was it humbling for you personally and professionally? How do you mean?
I just didn't have the year that I thought I would have, you know. Obviously, a lot of things happened and throughout the year, coaching changes, quarterback changes and things like that, but I just felt like I could have helped the team more. You know, I left a couple balls out there that I dropped personally, and just saw focus things, you know. And I know as the player that I am, and as competitive as I am, you know, I want to make those plays for the team to put us in the best position to win.
I talked to your new coach a few days ago. What do you make of that coaching change?
I like it. I love it. You know, his connection with Baker, his connection with all the players really on the offensive side of the ball, is really rare. You know, you don't find a coach all the time that really relates to his players. But also, it's going to be interesting to see now, put in the power position of being a head coach, you know, how he approaches, you know, treating his guys. Hopefully it's the same way.
I was going to say, right, like, you don't want to change.
Right, of course not.
You can't. This is why guys buy in. This is why guys react to the guy, because he's real and it works for him. But then again, if there's one guy that I trust not to change, it's got to be Freddie.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We'll see. Jarvis Landry joining me. You know, we saw this on Hard Knocks. You talk about that winning mentality. I don't care what the record is. I don't care what's happened prior to this. You have to have that winning mentality. What's that like? I mean, we see it on Sundays, but that thing's got to show up every single day when we don't see you, right? How do you explain that winning mentality and what you're looking for?
Well, everything starts with practice. You know, everything for me starts in my mind, in my focus, in my preparation, you know, and I think just talking to the receivers, I think a lot of the world has seen the little speech on Hard Knocks. You know, it was just about the mindset, you know, and creating that mindset and being true competitors. I love this game so much, you know, I mean, literally so much, you know, it's consumed my whole life, you know, and it's really all I know. And I think that's why my approach to the game has been like it is for so long.
Explain the love of the game, the love of the sport. Where does it come from? What do you love so much about football?
Just the grind, you know, the grind. I think it's no better feeling than seeing all my teammates work hard. It's no better feeling than seeing, you know, the coaches' staff, you know, the time they spend away from their families, the time that all of us spend away from our families, you know, with one common goal, and that's to win, you know, throughout the whole week. And to see it pay off on Sunday is something that, you know, is really a feeling that it's tough going without. I hate the off season. You know, I love it.
Love that grind that much.
Absolutely.
You want to be in the facility. You want to be in there doing work with your guys.
Absolutely.
All right, you got Nick right to your side. I'm going to bring him in 1 second. I had Baker on the show yesterday, Jarvis, and he was talking about how much he loves that city and the fit between he and the city. I'm looking at you. It seems to be the exact same thing. How would you describe the attitude that city has to you, to the football team, and the fit for you personally?
Well, I mean, it's a football town. You know, I think that for me, being there And understanding that and seeing the history behind the Cleveland Browns and all the things that, you know, happened when the team went to Baltimore and all these history facts, you know, it makes it that much more exciting, and it gives us that much more, you know, energy to be able to go out and compete for those, for the fans, for the city, for you know, Cleveland Browns organization, period.
Hey, Nick, what's it like for you to see the Browns playing the way they are right now? How exciting is it for you?
Man, it's a godsend. Like, I love my Browns. I bleed orange and brown. I've been a Browns fan since day one. And finally, after, you know, everyone knows all the stats and they plaster it, all the downfall we've had, and finally getting a chance to watch good football. You know, the fact that they're winning, that's an amazing bonus. Just seeing good football week in and having a player, like you said, Jarvis said, the mentality, man. Watching people who want to be in the city. You know what I mean? Cleveland, we ride for you. So having players who want to be there, embody what our city has, man, is so important. It's amazing.
This city especially. Now, I've done business in that town. I've done appearances in that town. I love Cleveland. I mean, I love Cleveland. That town has been so good to me personally and this show. But it's so easy for people who have never been to take runs at them, to clap back, because they don't know. They don't know what they're talking about. They've never been. Give us a little intel. What's something that people who've never been and don't know should know about your town?
The one thing I tell people who've never been to Cleveland is it's really not what perception. A lot of people, I went out of town one time. I was in California, and someone asked me, how many cows do you pass when you drive to work? What? None. Like, that's
come on,
a
come on,
a
Nick, just answer the question, man.
And, like, those are the questions. Like, those
come
are
on,
things.
Man. I'm from California. Nobody asked you that.
Like, those
somebody
are the
from California asked you
that's
that.
That's what someone asked me, man. Cleveland, we are a
real town. Dude, I love that story.
Town.
Just say they're from Arizona or something. Yeah.
Like, those are, man, the thing you don't know about Cleveland, we've been a top 10 food city. And for the last 5 years, we have so many local restaurants. We have a happening downtown. We've been up and coming. The city is more than just LeBron. You know, we have so much, and it's been that way. And we have more to offer.
My man,
look
my man, Nick.
Here,
dude,
man.
My man settling or what?
Miss you.
Yes, dude, he's more comfortable behind that mic than most of the Hall of Famers I've talked to this week.
Than me right now, guys.
Than me right now.
I love
Jarvis,
my city.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Back in December 2016, I had Boomer Esiason on the show, and he's devoted his life to raising funds to fight cystic fibrosis. He and I talked about the cleats that you were wearing at that time. My Cause, My Cleats program, he was incredibly moved by that gesture and what you were doing. And it goes back to your high school sweetheart who passed away in 2015. Who was that and what was she like?
Her name was Maya. And, you know, pretty much my first love, you know, one of the women that kind of helped me become the man I am. Probably one of the reasons that I'm sitting in this chair today, you know. And I made a promise to her back then that, you know, regardless of what happened between us, that I will always, you know, push for this cause, promote this cause, you know, and raise more awareness about it.
And that's exactly what you're doing. That's part of why Nick is rolling with you now. Now that Nick is here, you've got something for Nick, and I'm not even sure Nick knows what it is.
No.
Am I right?
I don't think he does.
Well, let's do it. What do you got?
Well, I mean, courtesy of, you know, just your inspiration, man, your inspiration. And I know it's been a journey for you, you know, but I got something to add to that journey. So she came all this way. I got something for you. Super Bowl tickets for you, for you and your sister. I got 2 tickets for you guys to go to the game.
Oh, my God.
Here you go, baby. Here you go. Come on, man.
I don't
stand
even got
up.
Words.
Give me a hug
come
or something,
on,
man. Yeah.
Oh, man,
it's love.
Thank you so much.
It's love. It's love. It's love, man. It's love. Your inspiration
you so much,
to a lot
man.
Of people. It's love. It's love. It's love. Real talk.
Oh, man, thank you so much.
Jarvis Landry joining Absolutely. Us. What an amazing moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What an amazing moment.
We riding for Cleveland, right?
Oh, man, thank you so
All
much.
Day. All day. All day. All day.
All oh, day. Man.
All day.
Oh, man.
You
thank
good?
You so much. Yeah, man. It's... Man,
Nick,
oh, man.
Talk to me for a minute, Nick. So you,
man,
talk to me. What? How's it been going? Like, what did you think that you were doing? You were just kind of hanging out with your guy. Guess I'll go talk to Rome for a few moments. Like, so, what did you think today was going to be?
Man,
that's a total shock right there, right?
Yeah, and I was just told I was gonna come down, and meet Jarvis and kind of have a conversation with him. And they were like, you know, just kind of talk to him. You know, I've done a lot of ambassador work for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I pride myself on being an advocate. My disease does not define me. It's all about the mentality, and that's something we have in common. You know, he always talks about that grind. You have to have a mentality. So that's something that I've always prided myself on, is having that mentality, speaking out. And so that's what I thought we were going to just have a conversation. So, I, you know, just coming on the show, talking to you, I didn't know anything about that. And so that was a surprise. It was like, oh, by the way, you're going to go up there with him. I'm like, I love me some Jim Rome. I'm cool. Why are you saying? So, and then just having this moment, man, it's just, you know, you always hear the stories about what people are. You know what I mean? And people have always said, you know, he believes in the cause, and I've followed him. It's funny, when I first found out he was getting traded to Cleveland, the first thing I did is called the Browns facility to be like, yo, I need to talk to this guy and let him know what kind of events we got going on, just on behalf of me, so he can be active in our community. And so you just don't, you rarely ever see someone who really means what they stand by. You know, before anyone does that, and just having this, so having him really show, you know, be what he's saying he is, man, it just means so much. And I was telling him, like, I love sports. I love football, man. It's, and like I said, and so just having this opportunity, man, it's overwhelming for someone to be as genuine as they are and to believe what he's saying, man. It's amazing.
Nick, I can't tell you how much I respect you, man. I'm blown away. I'm blown away by your presence. And yeah, Jarvis, what did that mean? I mean, there was so much love in that moment. What did that mean to you to be able to do that for Nick?
You know, when the idea came up and we were trying to make a choice or a decision about, you know, how we would do this, I think it was just put together so beautifully, and why not this way? You know what I mean? I think we both have been affected by this cause, you know, and you know, then people that are actually struggling with this disease aren't the only people that's fighting it, you know. And I just wanted you to know, and everybody to know, you know, that I'm here fighting it with you guys, and I'm here for you all the time.
I want to say also, the surprise was made possible through the Jarvis Landry and Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, the Northern Ohio chapter, and the Cleveland Browns. Really quickly, Nick, if people want more information, they want to get more involved, what's the best way to do it?
Go to the CFF.org site. They can find out more information about cystic fibrosis, what the disease is, where to donate at. So that's really your going to best source. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation website is going to be the best place to really get information about this disease, because there's so many people who are still affected with it, even with the life expectancy growing. You know, it's an everyday grind, and that's the important thing to understand with this disease.
Nick, so good to see you, man. So good to meet you. Thanks for coming on. Jarvis, extremely well done, man. Extremely well done.
Thank
really
you
nice
for
to
the
see you too, man.
Thank
that
you.
That was great, guys.
You.
Appreciate you both.
Very much.
We are coming right back. That was an amazing, amazing moment. Hour number 3, live from the ATL next.